Heaven. Okay, this is not going to be a practical message. It's just about a belief. Romans 11. And it's just about either a doctrinal warning and or not a sign, but a characteristic that we are in the latter times for the church. Romans 11. So it's about a month ago what I had a broccoli message. I think I said I had a broccoli message, but this is going to be some meat message. But sorry, you can't eat it. You just got to sit there and smell it. So Romans 11, verse 18. Let's go ahead and pray first. Obviously, we're going to need that to try to really think this thing through. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. I do ask that you'd help us to recognize the warning that Paul is giving in Romans 11, that we might understand that Israel, or the true Israel, truly does have a promise that you are going to complete it, and it most certainly is not the church. I pray you'd help us to recognize the differences between the Israel and the church and understand what Paul is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Romans chapter 11. Last week, we just kind of came through Romans 1 through 8. We have justification, sanctification, glorification about Paul being the apostle to Gentiles. And then the immediate question comes up of that is Romans 9. And Paul deals with that immediate question, what about Israel? Okay, so that's what Romans 9, 10, and 11 is focused on. And in 10, he kind of sandwiches in the difference between righteousness under the Old Testament covenant and the righteousness which is offered to sinners today. That's Romans 10. But Romans 9 and 11, he focuses on Israel. What about Israel? And so that's where we're heading. Romans 11, verse 18, it says, boast not against the branches. Okay, the branches will be Israel in the context. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, and the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, Israel's broken off, that I might be grafted in, Gentiles. Well, why? Because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded. Be not high-minded that God broke Israel off, because he's given us warning, church, he'll do the same to the church. And it's not dealing with salvation. Okay, it's not dealing with salvation. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in also. Again, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive trees? Don't get that. Don't worry about it. 25. Now, this doctrinal truth is so important to God that he says he doesn't want you to ignore this. Okay, now that statement, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. That's found 7 times in the New Testament, 6 by Paul, 1 by the Apostle Peter. So this is an area, an idea, a doctrine, a belief that you and I are not to ignore. And then he says, you should not be ignorant of this mystery. Now, there are 7 major mysteries in the New Testament that we are to be faithful stewards of. 1 Corinthians 4 says we are to be stewards of the mysteries of God. So this idea is doubly important to God as the translation or the rapture of the church. That is also an area we are not to ignore. And that is also a mystery. Those two are kind of interwoven. And the church is dropping both of them. They're missing the ball on both of them. And that's a glorious sign because that shows that we're at the end of the church time, the latter end. So it's actually, it depends how you look at it. Now, it's a warning. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. I've dealt with a lot of these people, and I can guarantee you that two things you know about them. They're ignorant of this mystery, and they're conceited. I mean, they are out there. And when they're conceited, Proverbs 26:12 says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceits? There's more hope of a fool than them." Now, Romans 11:25-28 is where, if you ever dealt with these people, that's where you want to focus them on. Okay, so it says, "Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in." Do you see two different races there? Israel, Gentiles. Which one's which? Okay, now the blindness of Israel is obvious, is it not? Go to Israel and try to talk about the Bible. Blind as a bat. Okay? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. That's the Israel of 25. The Israel that's blind in 25 has an opportunity as a people to be saved, 26. That's not dealing with individual salvation. "As is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant." That's the agreement, that's the contract. "This is my covenant unto them which I shall take away their sins." Reinforced by Hebrews 8. Hebrews, Jewish. "As concerning the gospel, they," who? Israel of 25, "they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." Now notice the word fathers. It's a plural. The fathers are who? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So he's dealing with the Abrahamic promise, the covenant. And then it says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." But the context is dealing with a nation of Israel and the nation, Gentile nations. And that's the context. Okay, so the Israel of 25 is the Israel of 26, is the Israel of 28. They're all one and the same. And a person must get that deep down in your crawl, because this is being used today by the devil to show that, hey, we are in the latter times of the church. Not the last days. That's a whole different ballgame. We're getting toward the end here. Okay, now if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 4, hold your finger in Romans because we're coming back there. 1 Timothy 4, this is forewarned by the Apostle Paul. Again, okay, I know this is a doctrinal issue, and we're living in a time period where people do not endure sound doctrine. And so just because the church don't want to do that, that don't mean we shouldn't. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, and don't think that we're special because we're not special. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Okay, I would have had a hard time with that, reading that in fourth grade, because I had a hard time with my F. I couldn't say my F. I had a hard time with my F. Okay, so "the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," notice it doesn't say last days, "the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils," and then hypocrisies, verse 2, and so forth. Drop down to verse 16. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." So that's what hopefully we're doing now. Taking heed unto the doctrine, a specific doctrine that the church is not Israel and Israel is not the church. And then it says, "Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Not save thyself as far as your salvation of your soul. Save thyself from what? Verse 1, deception. So that's what we're saving, trying to save ourselves from. Okay, now last week I went through Romans 1 through 5 where imputed righteousness and justification was introduced to the sinner. because he's under the wrath of God, Romans 1:18. And then after that, we went into sanctification, Romans 6, 7, and 8. And at the end of 8, he introduced the idea of glorification. If a person is justified, they will be glorified. It is our responsibility to seek sanctification through the Spirit of God. So then it brings up the immediate question, Romans 9, the immediate question is, what about Israel? I thought they were the people of God. What about Israel? Okay, now this is the doctrine in our closing days of the church that amazingly a lot of people who claim to believe the Bible and even the King James Bible are coming out and saying Israel's the church. And I'm thinking, can't you spell? They only have one letter the same out of six. I mean, a fellow that went to school with me, I saw him on a video. He says, Israel is the church. No, it's not. You can't spell. And that is a glorious thing for a Bible believer because, man, we are getting close to the end here. Because that's the area where the church goes to and God says, okay, I'm done with the church. Now, I'm not dealing with salvation. I'm dealing with a body of people or an organization or organism, the church itself. Okay, now, this doctrinal error is the latter days of the church. Now, the Roman church, the Catholic church, has claimed to be Israel for decades, for centuries. Okay, this is how they justify the priesthood. God transferred the Levitical priesthood to them. Okay, but all the priests in the Old Testament were married, not the ones in there, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and this is why they had the Inquisition. They killed people. They fight and kill people because they are a carnal situation where they're fighting for a physical kingdom, and they've been doing that for years. Well, in 1880, in the 1800s, Judge Rutherford and Pastor Russell shows up, and they say, no, 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 the Catholic Church is not Israel. We are Israel. So the Watchtowers, now they're claiming to be Israel. Okay, and then in the 1800s, you had the Mormons, the Morons show up. Okay, the Mormons showed up in the 1850s. You got Joe Smith, you know, and all his gals that he was chasing after, Joe Smith. Okay, now the two little boys, the young boys that come to, you know, walk through the streets, they got a little, you know, named to elder. I don't know how they keep this little young, but they're elders. Ask them what tribe they come from. It'll be Ephraim every time. And I'll look at them and laugh, and I say, don't tell me you're from Jew. Don't tell me you're a Jew, blonde hair, blue eye. You know, give me a side shot of that nose. You know? They claim to be Israel. Okay, now you have what's called the white supremacists or the Aryan nations. They claim to be Israel. Okay, so they're fighting. So you got four different groups jockeying for this position of being a replacement for Israel. And none of them are Israel. Now you have to do a lot of research. You know, and they'll look through and, oh, Israel came up this way, the 10 northern tribes. Do you know where the 10 lost tribes are? Well, if I knew where they are, they wouldn't be lost. You know, I mean, you know, like God lost them. He didn't lose them. Okay, and I've talked to many of these guys, many. And I tell you, when they get there, woo-hoo, they've gone bonkers. And I don't see them recovering from it. And they start doing all these little Jewish things, you know, all the little things. Oh, I do the Sabbath. Oh, go kid somebody else. Okay, and so, now what is it? It's an overreaction. Now, all of these people, these gangs, they obviously see the apostasy and blindness of Israel. Don't you see that? Israel's blind? Go pass out tracts in Israel and see how it goes. I would suggest a hard hat, because you're going to get pelted with rocks. Okay, now, it's an overreaction. Now, if a guy's trying to jump on a horse and he just doesn't get up there and he just doesn't get up there, and then he really jumps and lands on the other side, he's still not on it. He's overreacting. It's like Moses' overreaction when he got put out with them stiff-necked Jews and he hit the rock. And what happened when he smote the rock? He forfeited his right to go in the land of Canaan because he overreacted. It's like if somebody brags about Mary to somebody and we overreact. And we just rip her to shreds. Look how the Lord Jesus Christ did it that one time where somebody bragged about his mom, Mary. And he said, yay, that's right, but blessed are they. And then he goes on with it. He doesn't overreact. And so a lot of times people see this and the overreaction of the Gentiles. What does it do? It warrants apostasy to the Gentiles. And so I want to give you some thoughts about this idea. If you would go to Romans 9. Romans 9. Now, the first thought is this. The apostasy of Israel is clearly revealed. Anybody who does a little research, you discover that Israel as a nation are apostate. I mean, this is obvious. They don't love Jesus Christ. They don't care for Jesus Christ. You can't witness for Jesus Christ publicly in Israel. Okay, Romans chapter 9. But notice Paul's burden. Romans 9 verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He's dealing naturally. My kinsmen, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants. The seven covenants in the Bible are covenants that involve Israel. It's got nothing to do with me per se. I'm in the family. And the giving of the law, that's obvious. And the service of God, that's the Levites. And the promises, that's the unconditional promise with Abraham. Whose are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, Jewish descendant. Who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Now there's where they jump in a bag. See, not all Israel is Israel. So if they're not Israel, then I'm Israel. And then I'll run to Romans 2 and we'll get to that one. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. For are they all the children? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At that time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son, and not only this, but when Rebekah hath conceived by even by our father Isaac, and so forth. And you can see it going on there. You can see there's a division. Israel. Not all of Israel is Israel. Meaning, apostate Jews will suffer and go to hell just like any lost sinner. Now, there's a remnant that God's looking for. Now, not only that, there's another thing about Israel that's very strange. And I don't know if American Christianity is considered this. There are fake Jews. Romans 2 verse 9 and 3 verse 9 says that there are some who say they are Jews or are not. And then it associates them with the synagogue of Satan. The nation of Israel is fully entrenched and filled with counterfeit Jews. Not Jewish descendants of Abraham per se. This is some things that some have studied in the past. Henry Ford knew some of these things. And this would be what are called Khazars, okay, or Edomites masquerading as Jews. So not only in Israel do you have natural-born Jews who are apostate, you have counterfeit Jews who are apostate, and then you have some Jews that are a Jewish remnant or believing Jews, all in that one country. They're counterfeit Jews or fake Jews. Fake Jews produce fake news. And you see, people understand this. People see that who's in charge of the media industry. Look at the names. A lot of the Hollywood actors change their names so they get away from the Jewish connotation. Michael Landon, you know what his real name is? Horowitz. That gives it away. The three great defenders of the faith, Curly, Moe, and Larry, were all Jews. I mean, you see all this coming through there. And this began in the early 1900s, where they came from Europe, coming over here, and they own the media industry. Hollywood is run by Jews. The banking cartel. Anybody knows the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergers, the Club of Rome, that's the Catholic part of it. That's run by Jews. Okay, now you see that, but the overreaction is to become an anti-Semite. That's an overreaction. Okay, but now we recognize the paganism of the apostate Jews. The Jewish flag, you got two pyramids. That is a demonic sign. That is a sun worshiper sign. If you're going to have a sign or symbol for the Jewish nation, I would use a menorah, the seven branch candlestick. But why do they use that sign? Because it's paganism. It's a counterfeit. Satan counterfeits almost everything God has. He said in Isaiah 14, I will be like the Most High. Now, I put a list together one time of the counterfeits that I recognize, and there's more. I've got it up to 42. Got them all listed. You know, 42, and there's much more with that. And you can run down through there, and you see, I tell you, if you're going to find somebody's a perfect replica of the Lord Jesus Christ, look at the Antichrist. Okay, and so the nation of Israel has been infiltrated. Now you're finding some blacks. You ever see some of these blacks that say they're Israel? Oh, that's comical. I've talked to some of them like that. Well, I suppose you think Jesus was white. And so since the guy had an attitude, I said, I suppose you think he's black. He said, well, yeah, he said he had hair white like wool. I said, that's the color. It didn't say woolly hair. I mean, and besides, I said, he's not white, he's not black, he's a Jew. What's the big deal? A fair-complected Jew, according to Song of Solomon. But the idea is that these people are being overreacting, and you see that the Bible, there's one Bible in English that says the love of money is the root of all evil. So what do you look at? You look at the Fed. You look at the banking cartels. Who's running them? Apostate Jews. You do a little history on of Rothschilds. Do a history on Rothschilds, where he had five boys. He taught all of them to be bankers, like in France and in England. And they all funded wars on both sides. And they got rich as a result of it. Now, people that see that history recognize that, but we don't want to overreact. Overreacting is still wrong. Okay, so the apostate of Israel is clearly revealed. But Americans, the American Jews, we need to support Israel, support of Israel. Do you support all your friends? What gives them the right to take your money to give to somebody else? All foreign policy is taking money from American people, giving it to rich people in another country, and they pocket it, and then they do with it what they want. Okay, this is the reaction that people are getting. It's just nonsense. So the apostasy of Israel is clearly revealed. Second thing, God plans to restore Israel. Why? Because of a promise and a prophecy. He's going to restore them. I don't care what the Roman church says. I don't care what the Mormons say. I don't care what the J-Dubs say. I don't care what these Baptists who are saying that the church is Israel. No, God's restoring Israel. Why? He promised it. And he keeps his promises. The promise is given in Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 9, verse 8. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath with Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And that ain't some white Anglo-Saxon in America. That's Israel. Now here's what they do. Okay, if you would go back to Romans 2 verse 28. And I tell you, when somebody gets down this path, when they've gotten down to this point where they've made that conclusion, they're down there. They have had to mess with a lot of scripture to make it say what they want. Romans 2:28, it says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So they say, well, look at there. If they're not a Jew inwardly, then they're not a Jew. And so what do? They switch it to a Gentile. That's about like saying, you know, all ducks are birds. And a person said, well, if it's not a duck inwardly, it's not a bird. Well, then let's switch it to a monkey. That's what they're doing when they make the switch like this. All it's saying is there's a bunch of Jews. There's counterfeit Jews. There's apostate Jews. And then there's some Jews in their heart are believing Jews. And that's a very small group. And that's the group that God's going to give the promise to. Romans chapter 9, if you would go there. Romans 9, verse 27. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. So in that sand of the sea, you've got all different types of sand. You've got apostate Jews, you've got counterfeit Jews, Khazars, Edomites. And you've got a believing remnant. And then it says, a remnant shall be saved. That's that 144,000 in Revelation. You see, that's where that's heading to. Okay, now here's another verse they'll run you to. Hold your finger in Romans 9. We'll come back to Romans 11. If you would, look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 is a popular one. And it says, verse 29, the last verse. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Notice singular promise. And now see there, you're getting a promise. Yeah, but what promise is he talking about? Go backward to 3:14. The promise is the promise of the Spirit through faith. How do we get the Spirit of God? It's by faith. And he used that illustration with Abraham and Melchizedek because Melchizedek appears to be a type of the Holy Ghost or an Old Testament manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Very strange thing. But yet in Galatians 3:29, he's dealing all spiritually there from verse 25, 26, 27, 28. Those are five verses that are cut anybody's throat if you don't handle them properly. Now back to Romans 11, if you would. Romans 11, 25. This is the passage that I use with one of these clowns that's written a book, you know, a guy named Gordon somebody. And I kept asking him, okay, you're Israel. I didn't say he wasn't Israel. I just said, okay, are you Israel? Which one are you? Romans 11, 25. Or 26? Which one? He's going to have to say both. But he would never answer the question. And the reason why is because verse 25, if he's that Israel, he's blind. If he's blind, how can he see? If he's Israel of 11:26, okay, then it makes him an enemy of the gospel, verse 28. So he's not a pal. But he thinks God shifted it to him. We had about 10 emails back and forth. And I kept asking him, who are you? Which Israel are you? Please help. And he'd write, you're not ready for the answer. And I'd write back and say, oh, I'm ready now. Which Israel are you? And they said, well, you're not spiritual to receive the answer. So I'd write back, I'm spiritual now. I've done the best I could. Please. And he would never answer the question. Then he got to the end. He said, well, okay, you can admit you won the argument. And I wrote back. I said, I did. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Conceited, arrogant, nutcase. Thinking that Israel spelled C-H-U-R-C-H. I mean, you're really out there. Okay, and he's not the only one I've dealt with that. Several like that. Okay, now where does this all come from? Go back to Daniel 9. Here's the promise of the prophecy. Daniel 9. This is the first time I can recall chronologically in the Bible where the word prophecy is used and the prophecy is given at the time. Okay, now prophecy is used, but it just says he gave a prophecy and it really doesn't detail it. This is probably one of the most important prophecies of the Bible. It lays out the Bible calendar. This is what the wise men understood, how they figured out Jesus was coming. The star was just like little sprinkles on top of the cupcake. Now, Daniel 9, Daniel gives a great prophecy. Okay, Daniel 9:24. Any prophecy teacher knows this. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, my Bible, I circled thy people, thy holy city. Then there's seven characteristics which have not been fulfilled. And the 70 weeks, we have a great advantage of looking backward. The 70 weeks turns out to be 490 years. He divides it in three parts. You'll see in verse 25, 7 weeks, 2 weeks, and 1 week's kind of dangling. So he divided it in three parts. Now, who is thy people? Well, one of these clowns in Australia who I was asked to write to, we went back and forth, and he says, thy people are Christians. And I said, nice try, pal. Thy people, verse 15, the Bible defines it. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people out of the land of Egypt. Who am that be? Do we miss it? Verse 16, about in the middle of the verse, away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, and then further in the verse, Jerusalem and thy people, that ain't Americans, with good English, that is not Americans. Verse 18 in the middle, thy city, it ain't Washington, D.C. Verse 19, thy city, thy people, the context. Verse 20, how do we miss it? My people, Israel, the holy mountain of my God. Verse 24, thy people, thy holy city. I think he's dealing with Israel. That's why in verse 27, he mentions a sacrifice, an oblation. So there's a temple. And it's not a Baptist temple. It's a Jewish temple. And when you read Hebrews to the end of the Bible, all you're going to see all intermingled through there. Hebrews, Jews, Israel, temple, sacrifice, temple, Hebrew. I mean, that's why. Now, that first 69 weeks are done. Okay, he's dealt with thy people, thy holy city. So would not that last one need to be done with Israel? That's why Revelation writes about the 144,000 Jews. It's all Israel. And in chapter 12 of Daniel, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. That's Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble. That's Jacob's trouble. It's got nothing to do with the church. I've talked to many of these people who think they're going into tribulation. I just smile and say, hey, good luck. Have a good time. I'm out of here. I advised the one guy in Australia, hey, if you're going into tribulation, I would advise you to go to Jordan, get some land, buy a property, get some foodstuffs in there, because you better run to Petra. Better hope you can get there. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, yeah, I didn't think you would. I mean, it's just comical. When they get down there, they get out there. God plans to restore Israel because of a promise and prophecy. Why would I care about a covenant when I'm in the family? Get in the family. When you get in the family through justification, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Why would I want to be a Jew or Greek in God's eyes? That means I'm lost. Why would I want to be Israel? That means I'm lost in God's eyes. I'm in the church of God. And the church of God has to be brought out before he starts the 70 weeks again. I think some of the 70 weeks have been used up. 100, 200 days. And then he picks up where he left off, all Jewish. And that's what the epistle to the Hebrews is all about. It ain't Hebrew Christians. It's Jewish people, and he's writing about the last days, and he's writing about what they need to do in the last days.
And these guys miss it all. They miss so much of the Bible because they're starting to change words. When you start changing words of the Bible, where are you going to start and stop? And when they say Israel's a church, what else are they going to say? Where are they going to start and stop? And so the third thought is very clear. Believe God regardless of the circumstances. Now, I say that with Romans chapter 4 in mind, where God told Abraham, you're going to have a child. Are you kidding me? Romans 4, he said, okay, I believe you. Now, the circumstances said he should never had a child. He was 89, Sarah was 79. Or she was 89 and he was 99. I'm going to have a child through Sarah? Right, yeah. How are we going to do this? And God says, if you can't figure that out at this age, you better figure it out. And so they had it says in Romans 4, Abraham did not stagger at the promise. Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. She did she not? Genesis 16, Hagar, she staggered at it, but he didn't. He said, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. See, that's the promise of Israel, the prophecy. Okay, Acts 27. It's very easy. Just believe God in spite of the circumstances. Acts 27, Paul is on that ship going to Rome. He's being extradited to Rome. And a storm has come in, a big bad storm. Euroclidon's coming in. And the ship's falling apart, and they're throwing everything overboard and all that stuff. And then an angel appears to Paul. Acts 27:23, and there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, he said to the men, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. I mean, that's when the storm's blowing everything, and they're like, and he's yelling this to 275 men. I believe God. It shall be even as he's told me. Okay, so we see the world events. We see that Israel is blind. We see that Israel is apostate. We see that Israel is infiltrated by counterfeit Jews. And those counterfeit Jews are a part of the Kabbalah and a part of Satanism, big-time Satanism, and are part of big-time pedophilia and child trafficking. Bigger than anybody knows how bad it is. And you can read the Talmud, which I put in a footnote, Ephesians 6, of some perverted things that rabbis say about children and men. I mean, really out there. And that's part of the Kabbalah. That is satanic. Okay? And we see all that. But I still believe God. There's a remnant. And the Jewish remnant are going to inherit that promise. And he's going to restore Israel, and it's going to be the Holy One of Israel. And it's going to drive them Edomites crazy. That's the foreign policy of God. He promised that to Abraham. He's going to keep his promise. He hasn't shifted it to anybody else. And why in the world would the church, who are a part of the body of Christ, want to have a covenant with God? You could break a covenant. The one with Abraham, he's not going to break. But when you're in the family, you can't break the lineage. It's better to be in the family of God, in the body of Christ, the church, any day than being in Israel. And so when we see what the Bible is saying here, it's clearly given God's going to keep his promise. Now, as a believer, we can look at that. We can see the world events. We can see where the church and Baptist guys are saying, oh, the church is going into tribulation. Oh, the church is Israel now. Israel's the church. Hey, if you want to believe that, have at it. Have a good time. You know, you'll see global warming. You'll get to witness it. I mean, you'll get to see the stars falling down. Man, you better have a good bunker. You better become a Mormon. They've got a lot of foodstuffs underground. But you better worry about that when the earthquake hits. So you don't want to get in them underground bases in Area 51. You know, you want to get out of there, because when an earthquake hits, Revelation chapter 6, what happens when an earthquake hits? The kings come out of the ground. This is all planned. It's all right in front of us if we just do a little homework and we get excited about Jesus Christ coming back. He keeps his promises. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I pray and ask that you'd help us to be people that do research and do know things and do study, but help us not to overreact. Yeah, Israel's counterfeit. Yes, Israel is infiltrated by counterfeits. Yes, they are apostates. Yeah, we see all that. Yeah, they're running the movie industry, trying to influence people with brainwashing. Yeah, they're a part of a lot of things. But yet, there's a Jewish remnant that you have kept. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be excited that you keep your promises. And that prophecy is going to come true, just like all your prophecies do. And help us to be faithful until we see you face to face. And we hear that big shout, come up hither. And man, we're out of here. Lord, thank you for those great promises of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.